are tuned in to WPVMLP Asheville 103.7 on your FM radio and streaming at WPVMFM.org.
Listen, as the sound enters my inner ear and vibrates through my inner plane, my biosphere.
Part of me learning to be a better listener of others is learning to listen to myself.
When we are listened to, truly listened to, you know, you can feel when someone's deeply listening and we feel heard, we are healed in that moment.
Listen and be heard. Even if your voice shakes without knowing it, you may be saving a stranger.
Listen and be heard is, I guess, part of why I wanted to connect with you, because as soon as you said that, it like stuck a chord in my soul.
Welcome to the Audio Garden, where we cultivate our collective wisdom, nurture creativity, and spread love. My name is Martha Senator, and this is Listen and Be Heard.
Welcome back to the Audio Garden, my friends. It is so good to be here with you again. And we have so much to share with you today. My good friend and co-producer Tony Robles was very busy while we were on a production break. He spoke with Philadelphia Youth Poet Laureate Malaya Ulan, and we will bring you some of that conversation here today, as well as several writers who were participating in the Hickory Literary Festival, JoJo Barrett, Jason Parker, Maya V. Fox, and Marlo Scheitler. If these bits of conversation make you curious, you can listen to the full conversations that were posted during our production break at listenandbeheard.net. And later in the program, we're going to hear some new music, as always, from Hernan Ramiro Rodriguez Sierra. And we're also going to revisit some of our favorite poetry from our previous guests here on the Listen and Be Heard Hour, including Mikey Cullen, Shizue Siegel, Crystal Cawley, and a former poet laureate of San Francisco, Jenny Lim. So thank you for joining us and taking the time to enjoy the Audio Garden. Let's get started, as usual, with a poem. This is Marlo Scheitler.
She speaks. For some people, it seems like the American dream has turned into a nightmare. Certain people are no longer allowed to dream because others work schemes to other them. Baseless claims that immigrants are someone to fear because their intentions are just extensions of the criminal element, and this is the only way they stay relevant. Spreading fear and lies for the hell of it, just because they can disparage their fellow men. It's not right. We need to fight this bigotry, disguised as patriotism, but rooted in racism, when it's nothing more than fear rearing its ugly head. So let's put it to bed. These lies being spread that misled to apprehension around immigrants' intentions. When it's such bullshit, because we all have a story that includes them. They have carried us, married us, built for and buried us, this country, with their blood, sweat and tears for hundreds of years. Now you want to cry foul and replace them, even erase them? Rewrite history and deface them? Banning books to silence their story and make yourself glean all the glory? This is un-American just because they think they can.
This is Listen and Be Heard Radio for readers and writers, and welcome to the Audio Garden. Malaya Ulan is a youth poet laureate of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You know, she's also a filmmaker, you know, just somebody who has many, many talents And we're just really happy to have her on our program. Malaya, welcome to Listen and Be Heard Radio.
Yay! Thank you for having me. Very excited to talk today.
You know, I want to start off, you know, with your name, Malaya Ulam. A very beautiful name. Can you tell us the meaning?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Tagalog. My first name, Malaya, means freedom in Tagalog, freedom or liberation. And then my middle name, or it's more like my stage name, Ulan, is rain, which was like, it was another option for my first name. So I really like the idea of like combining them together, like free rain.
Free rain. Oh, free,
free rain.
Yeah, yeah.
Freedom rains or like freedom rain.
Mm. Fantastic, fantastic. You know, I know it's an honor to be named Poet Laureate of a city, you know, a city like Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. You know, you had done a TED Talk, and I also saw the video of the ceremony when you were sworn in as Youth Poet Laureate in Philadelphia. You said something really interesting about the community of Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a city of the global majority. Mm-hmm. And can you talk about what brought you to that? To me, that was bad. I just liked it.
Yeah, so Philadelphia is like, it's a city known for being like majority minority city.
Mm.
Yeah, it's very diverse. And it was like a big part of my childhood growing up in Philadelphia. Like, I remember my mother, Anito Gavino, she would take me to like different cultural dance things, like Cambodian dance or like Balinese with Indonesian dance. That was a very big part of my childhood. And then also entering the poetry scene, because Philly is like poetry city. Like,
oh, yeah.
So many legends came out of Philly, like Miss Sonia Sanchez, Miss Ursula Rucker, Jill Scott, Flo Tree, Boyz II Men, Music Soul Child even,
yeah.
Right? So like the scene is like big here, and it's like very heavily rooted in like activism and Black and Brown communities, especially in like West Philly, South Philly. There's like big Latino population. West Philly is like also very diverse. There's a lot of like Muslim communities with East African, like Ethiopian, West African, big Nigerian, Senegalese. It's like, it's really like a hidden melting pot, because people don't really like recognize Philly as like, oh, it's the one next to New York, right? But like Philadelphia is really like a melting pot of cultures and art, because so many youth programs for writing and film. It's like, yeah, this is what's really beautiful about the city.
Walking in, it tells things. What's the crack? Any crack, gossip, or scandal? It's, what's the story? What is the story? Our story. The legends, myths, archetypes, and tales, the ubiquity through generation, and as old as the drawings on cave walls or stones. The details recounted amidst the heaving hustle and bustle and revelry. In alcoves and cozy snugs, standing on sticky floors, or sat on tattered bespeckled chairs, well worn and imbued with character by the characters who've enthroned them over the years. Different years, but the same styles, details, same stories. Story. It's friends, family catching up, making up the communal crisp packet opened in the middle. It's in the listening. To those stories that seem to go on for ages and circle like the wet imprint of a pint bottom on the bar, and you're still none the wiser what the fuck they're on about after they finish, to the old lad recounting tales of former heroics, to the trivial or benign awkward encounter shared with friends, to the laments of hard times, to those stories that seem to carefully spin like fibres and fabric to our very fibres and fabric of being. It's every, remember, and reminisce that induces pleasant reveries and memories. It's in the listening to the songs and poems that stir the blood and sits in our core, reaffirming who we are, our skin etched with goosebumps by the perennial chords of our land that serenade the soul, that ineffable feeling, to the laughter and the crack that lift the heart and rise like cream to the ethers. Why do we tell stories? To pass the time, to entertain, to elicit advice, to navigate life, to understand each other and thus ourselves, to connect. We've always told stories. We always will. It's in the familiar. It's in the community. It's in the family. It's in the partage. It's in us. Life is easier when shared.
This is Listen and Be Heard Radio for readers and writers. We are at the Hickory Literary Festival, just finished with a sharing of poems with Hickory Poet Laureate Scott Owens and friends. Just a wonderful gathering of poets, including JoJo Barrett. He is a pre-med major, creative writing minor at Lenoir Rhine University, writing on themes like love, activism, and more. JoJo, welcome to Listen and Be Heard Radio. How long have you been writing?
I've been writing since, I'd say, 10th grade. Mm-hmm. I kind of started to kind of hone the skill and really kind of focus on it. I think I submitted a few times. Well, I submitted three times to our literary magazine at my high school before I came to college. So I've been in there for a good while now. I'd say about 4, 5, 6 years. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So the themes that you write on are love, activism, and more. What is the more?
The more is kind of those in-betweens. Like I explained earlier, I have the brand Joetry, which I created in April 2025, and it kind of just stems from the inequality that we see in America, and those negatives always connect to the positives like love, and then you have all the things in between.
Yeah. So a Joetry?
Yes, sir.
And so you're trying to bring out the in-betweens.
Yes, sir.
And I guess the in-betweens are kind of like it's a contradictions, right? What are like one or two of the contradictions that really get to you that might inspire the stuff that you're doing?
The idea that America is a great place. I feel like that idea is very subjective. It's extremely subjective, and living this life as a black man, you get to see those. You get to see what really America is, and you get to see it from different types of perspectives. I was just talking to one of the other poets, and we were talking about the Intro to Creative Writing course at LR, and I talked about how it helped me learn how to use different perspectives, even if I haven't necessarily experienced them.
Yeah.
So the thing that a lot of times poets and writers, we preach to the choir in a sense. Yeah. So I want to take my work and put the perspective of the people who don't believe the same thing that we believe.
We are in Hickory, North Carolina, speaking with a wonderful poet, Maeve Fox. Maeve, well, first of all, congratulations on your first book of poetry called Letting Go of Me. Tell us about your book.
So my book is a process of understanding the journey of transition. I transitioned in 2021, and it changed my life entirely. And then later on that year, my husband passed away. When my husband passed away, just like all of this came out, and my poetry that I put off for so many years came back to me.
Yeah.
And so this book is about moving to this new person while also sort of paying homage to that old person that I used to be. So in some ways it's kind of a eulogy, but also a celebration.
Yeah.
So the poems in the book has both my name and his name, and the poetry is a mix of his poetry and my poetry.
You know, the title is very telling as well. Letting Go of Me. Can you maybe talk about some of the things that went into that title? You know, what did you let go of?
So that's the title of the last poem in the book, and it talks about how, you know, especially coming back home, because I moved across the state and I came back home after my husband died, and I'm talking to people that I used to know, but that's a different person that used to know those people, and you're coming back to all of these things that you knew, but they're so different.
Right.
So in a way, it's kind of letting go of that luggage that you know, that I was carrying around, that I needed to drop in order to fully embody this new persona of who I am.
You know, that is so telling, because sometimes, you know, when you move from a place and then you come back, you know, it may not be that the place has changed so much that, you know, that it's really, really you that that has changed. Now, this is your first book of poetry. How has it been received? I mean, you know, from, you know, just like readers in general, family members. How, you know, what has it evoked?
I have had so many people, and it's been almost overwhelming, come up to me after readings and just talk about how much they understand it, how much they take from it. So even when you're not dealing with, you know, LGBTQ crowds, they still kind of understand shedding who you are, becoming
this
a new person.
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour.
Listen and be heard to your heart. Once you speak and talk to your heart, enormously beautiful things can come forth. So listen and be heard. You hear yourself. Hear your thoughts. Listen to your thoughts. And perhaps take action.
When I was 6, I was too young to know that segregation meant a California sharecropping camp, the tar paper shacks, a step up from concentration camp barracks for Japanese American families like mine, a step up from a Dust Bowl tent for the one white family in the compound that kept to themselves. On the other side of the country, segregation meant an all-white Irish and Polish American neighborhood across town from where Freddie Gray would die decades later. They ate fish on Fridays, reminded themselves every Easter why they hated Jews, and beat you up for wearing orange on St. Patrick's Day. When I was 6, I didn't know where Asian Americans should sit on a Baltimore bus. White faces in front, mahogany in back, us in the middle. Or what the park map meant by white pool and colored pool. My child's mind imagined two pools with fountains lit up at night. The colored pool would be better. Red, yellow, and blue and green lights, not just plain white. When I was 6, I didn't know that America was a celebration of carnivores, meatloaf, steak, and liver and onions. Fresh shucked oysters eaten alive with horseradish and ketchup, soft shell crabs fried in butter and slapped between two slices of Wonder Bread. Our German landlady boiled blue crabs alive in beer at Old Bay. When they tried to get out, she pushed them back in with a wooden spoon and clapped on the lid. When she learned that the nice tenants upstairs had changed their name from Rosenberg to Ross, she made them move so her residence could remain pristine. German, Italian, and Japanese American. When I was 6, I didn't know what America was.
We're speaking to Jason Parker. He is the author of a wonderful memoir called Prosecutor Boy. Jason, welcome to our program. Tell us about Prosecutor Boy.
Well, it's the story of my life. I was a prosecutor for 25 years in the area, but I moved back up here. I was the first black lawyer in the area, and I was the first black prosecutor in the area also. So over the years, I tried a lot of strange cases, and I had my own method of doing it. People used to always tell me after I would tell them my stories that you need to write a book. So eventually, I just started compiling my little stories together and put together and called it Prosecutor Boy.
So these were people that I guess knew you and knew some of the things that you had gone through and said, hey, you need to get this down on paper. What was that like? Did you have any experience as a writer prior to that?
No, not really. You had to write when you were doing things like submitting briefs and things like that when I was in private practice. But as far as actually writing a book, this is my first time trying that.
Mm-hmm. And what was the process of that like? Because, you know, people think that, okay, you get up at 7 a.m. and you just, you know, put its head to the grindstone.
Well, I started out talking about, you know, the type of cases I had, and I'd kept my notes from back in time when I was trying cases. But a younger brother of mine owned a newspaper down in Decatur, Georgia, and when I was telling him what the game plan was, he said, well, nobody wants to hear just about you trying murder cases and armed robberies and stuff like that. You need to tell about yourself also to let people know how you got to be in this position. So I actually wrote about growing up in Taylorsville. I came up during a time of integration, segregation. I went to a predominantly white university where like there were like maybe out of 13,000 students, there were like 400 black kids, and like we had actually had a football team, and they had only one football player on, black football player on it. So it was a process. And once I started writing, I just kept putting down my memories of what had transpired in my life.
Once it's heard, it can't be unheard.
Once it's published, it's not gonna be unpublished. Once you read the poem, you can't unread it. No matter how an individual may try to push it to the side, forget about it, it's still in there. And it's the words, the meaning, the feelings behind it are taking root in their psyche and they can't get rid of it.
Relationship to the library in Greenville is very fortuitous in the fact that I was an avid library goer in middle school and I lived in the rural part of the county. And one of the ways I had access was the bookmobile that came to our neighborhood. And I was one of those kids who ran after the bookmobile like some kids ran after the ice cream truck. So it really was important to me to read and to expand my mind and my horizon. I was always on a path, you know, so I want to say that, and I've always supported the library.
It's very interesting when you talk to people, writers, on how they entered, like, you know, Walter Mosley, for instance, who, you know, he's the mystery writer who wrote Devil in a Blue Dress. When they ask him how he entered the life in fiction, he mentions the Fantastic Four and, like, comic books. And,
right.
You know, people say, well, God, that's not literature. He says, well, it was literature when I was, like, 13 years old. It told me what the world was like. Can you talk about how you entered the life of, poetry?
Yes, our introduction to poetry is like Shakespeare, right? Not accessible because of how it's abstract medium of big fancy words that young kids don't really understand at that time. There's something very like raw about like the Philadelphia poetry scene and beautiful. And I love the way that Miss Sonia Sanchez and Miss Ursula Rucker like deliver and really the multidisciplinariness of poetry with music and delivery. So that was a big inspiration for me.
It's interesting because I have kind of a similar background. I come from a family of artists as well. And, you know, your mother being a dancer, you know, when we think of immigrant parents, we often think about, especially Asian, right? We think about, you know, how the pressure is on the kid to be, you know, a doctor or a lawyer or some quote unquote profession. How did your mother react to you gravitating towards literature, towards poetry?
She was very encouraging because, like, yeah. I grew up, like, on the stage because she was always performing. Like, I was, like, either in the wings of the stage watching her or, like, literally when I was an infant, she was in, like, this Latin dance company and I was, like, baby Jesus. There's, like, this one scene where somebody's, like, pretending to be the Statue of Liberty mopping. Unrelated metaphor. But, yeah, I grew up, like, in this dance world. And when I started gravitating towards poetry, it was like, it was a very new thing. I don't know if you've heard of Mighty Writers in Philadelphia. It's like a youth writing organization. They do like writing workshops and competitions. And she read my first poem that I actually wrote in a race and equity coalition that I co-founded in middle school. And it was a very simple poem, but it was like talking about my identity. To like the lens of a seventh grader. And she told me, submit this, Malaya, submit this to Mighty Writers. And then I was like, I don't want to submit. Like, I'm guessing my work. And then I won. Like, I had won, like, it was a very tiny prize, but it was like a big thing for me because I was like, my first confirmation that I was like good in writing and that I had like a path in this. So, yeah, I think her encouragement.
You know,
definitely
the thing that I noticed too in some of this, the research that I've done on you and some of your work is this kind of emerging with the artistic and the activist. And, you know, the fact that you were in a racial equity, you know, program or something that you had, a group that you had started in high school, is very timely right now, seeing, you know, what's happening with the ICE raids and how high school students in mass are, you know, walking out of class. Can you talk about maybe what's going on in Philly? Because a lot of stuff that we're seeing, like online from content creators, are showing the streets of Philadelphia where people are just hurting. they're zoned out. But can you tell us about some of the positive things, particularly with the high school students, what they're doing, how they're getting politicized?
Well, there's this thing called Slamly, that's where the teens go. They basically share spoken word poems. Mm-hmm. That same kind of thing. People are like, activism. That, I can't really speak much on what's in Philly. I can speak on in Miami, though, if you'd want to hear about that.
So you were in Philadelphia, but you recently moved to Miami?
Miami is a very interesting community because I moved into Kendall, which is like South Miami, and it's predominantly Latino school, so like all my classes is just like Spanish. At first I'm like, whoa, this is a huge culture shock because I'm like so used to just hearing English, and it was a very cool experience to like learn about other people's cultures. But then first month I like drifted into the wrong crowd and realized that they did not believe the same things that I believed in, and they were also Latino, but it was very interesting to see like this kind of bubble that Miami has formed. People think that they are part of this we that Trump is like going for, and that they are not part of like the immigrants that are going to be discriminated against. I was having this one conversation with a classmate, actually he's Puerto Rican and Ecuadorian, but he was like, I would never be racially profiled. He's very brown, right? Speaks Spanish. And he's like, this is not possible. I am American.
I really appreciate you taking time. This was really fantastic.
Yes, thank you. This was so fun.
Thank you again to Malaya Ulan for joining Tony Robles in the Audio Garden. There was much more to that conversation, and we will be posting the entire video conference interview between Tony Robles and Malaya on our website at listenandbeheard.net, and probably a few more segments on future episodes of the Listen and Be Heard Hour. In the complete interview, they mention a lot of different books that are very interesting, that our intern, Micah Franklin Johnson, worked very hard to make posts for each of those books. And did you know that we have a master reading list of all the books that we feature and even just the ones that come up in conversation during our interviews? So I encourage you to use our website as a resource. You will also find a post for the authors at the Hickory Literary Festival 2026, who Tony Robles spoke to, and we featured bits and parts of those conversations here in this last half hour, and you will find the complete conversations on the website. So I encourage you to go there and to sign up for our email newsletter while you're there so that you can get all of our posts and things that are going on. And there's a lot of things developing here at Listen and Be Heard Network, thanks to the sponsorship of Sound System Culture. And I would like to tell you that we're currently raising funds to be able to pay our two high school interns, Micah and Javier, to work for us over the summertime. So if you are interested in supporting that effort, please visit our intern page at listenandbeheard.net. We'll be back with Hernan in the second half for some new music. So please stick around, listen to the sounds of the Audio Garden, and we'll meet you on the other side of the bridge in a minute or two.
I think listening is like a really crucial part of my own practice and being heard. I guess there's a difference between listening and being heard, right? Like I feel like listening is sort of at the core of so much. Like if we listen to each other, you know, I think that we'll hear better and we'll understand better, certainly. And the world's very noisy in so many ways lately. I think it's harder for people to like the practice of listening is difficult. Yeah, those are definitely things that I think about. And collaboration, interacting with other writers is like at core a practice of listening. So with She Who Has No Masters, it's really like a practice of listening. Like we talk about engagement, like a poetics of engagement, but I think it's like at that, you know, the heart of it is like being willing to listen to each other and learn from each other.
How are we doing? This is Hernan Ramiro here, also known as J. Rodriguez Sierra, for Listen and Be Heard Network, saying thank you as always for your support. As always, here we are with some kicking sonic explorations. First up, a tribute to the great Miles Davis with a version of the great Wayne Shorter's Sanctuary featuring Jason Miles on keys and Ingrid Jensen on trumpet, Jerry Brooks on bass, and myself on soprano, tenor, and bass clarinet. And right after that, an excerpt from a very cool live performance straight out of Harlem for the Harlem Jazz Box, featuring our very own Martha Senator on spoken word, bassist Melissa Slocum, harpist Veronica Spells, Mike King on piano, and Oscar Baye on drums, and yours truly on reeds. All right, thank you for your support. Peace out. Thank you.
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour, brought to you by Listen and Be Heard Network, a project of Sound System Culture.
Listening to? Is that you? I hear a whispering and someone's here. Is that me? Hurting what's listing in the belly of a ship, dipping, slipping in a storm, while you pretend it's the norm? And I'm listening to the thought that I ought to let go of the ship and slip into the sea. And watch me slowly sink into memories where the only light is manufactured by the creatures of the depths, finding ways to be fed, being led among dead beings, seeing light as heaven, while breathing water, thinking stars and cars and Mars and you could have gone so far, but you weren't the one. And fun is as does, was, never, and run from a fight. Keep light at your back, hack your way to pay to play. What I am to listening, hear what was you, was me, he, she, they, then. What am I? Listening to you. They listened while heard I was wasing, list, listing.
And now some poetry from Crystal Cawley.
So my poem is titled, I just wrote it a few minutes ago too, Black. The infinite beauty in God's perfect sight, beautiful and black like the darkest night. Black will shine even without the stars radiating light. Black is beautiful. Black is a part of me. We are often overlooked. Black is one of the greatest creations that all can see. Black is when the footsteps made the escape at night, step left, step right. Black signals the direction when freedom takes flight. Black and beautiful is how I poetically feel. Spoken word poetry at the Shakedown Lounge keeps it real. My Black is Beautiful, a brilliant work of art, loving all shades of blackness deeply in my heart that is indescribable with hope for the darkest skin. Our blackness is not a sin. Feeling confident about the skin I'm in, yes, confidence will always win. Words to make you blink, just enough to make him wink. The richness of Black History Month to make you all think. Happy Black History Month.
We the people have the power to be heard. So remember that the time to act is now. It's time for a social transformation.
Listen and be heard about life.
This is my country. This is my mouth screaming across the divide of asparagus fields and highways, sucking grapes from virgin vines and brown hands. This is my face, a burning eulogy howling at you from the fig of one tree left in the orchard of dreams. This is my body surrendering to a city of bullets and stones. Every death, they say, is the first death. Beneath each grave lies a fleeting hope, an arrival 3,000 years old. To go away from oneself is to come back to oneself, to return to the suckling dawn of grass and butterflies, The weight of our bones are carried by the winds. The weight of our water is contained in the first drought. Peace is just an idea, an exile's image of God. What is love to the soldier at his moment of death? What is love to a child without bread or books? I wish I could bring purple violets to commemorate the death of hatred. But alas, I am no match for a prison of steel, and I am 20 years older than hope. This is my country, is yours too. I will die as American as you. This is my country, reaching across the divide of flesh, sky, for you.
Time passes so quickly here in the Audio Garden. I want to thank you for joining me today. My name is Martha Senator, and thanks to my co-host, Tony Robles, for speaking with all the wonderful flowers in the literary garden and bringing their voices to us to share what they have to offer. Next week, we'll bring you a conversation between Tony and Catherine Scott Crawford, as well as what we always bring you, some poetry and some great new music that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to my co-producer, co-host, an amazingly talented multi-instrumentalist and composer, Hernan Ramiro Rodriguez Sierra, formerly known as Jay Rodriguez. And I'm going to leave you with some wise words from Meredith Lee, the author of The Ethical Meat Handbook, who I got to speak with and do a live show with a couple times at WPVM in Asheville, North Carolina. I'll meet you in the garden again next week.
I think a lot of times, especially white folks, don't feel like we have the authority to speak about ancestors, right? Because like we are colonialists.
Ancestors.
Yeah, right? But we do. We know, and everybody has an ancestor that knew how to live on the earth in a way that was conscientious, right? And so while people of color and native folk do have a closer cultural tie to that knowledge and should be listened to, absolutely, I think that it's also time for everyone to like just step into a recognition that we all have ancestors.
Thanks as always to Davian Dial at WPVM Radio in Asheville, North Carolina, for introducing Listen and Be Heard to the broadcast airwaves, KCEI in Taos, New Mexico, KEPJ in San Antonio, Texas, KHOI in Ames, Iowa, and KFOI in Red Bluff, California, and other stations that are part of the Pacifica Affiliate Network for cultivating the audio garden in your communities, and our own Listen and Be Heard Network, host of WLBH.org. Please visit us at listenandbeheard.net and sign up for our email newsletter and at our Listen and Be Heard YouTube channel, where you will find unedited video interviews of our featured guests. My name is Martha Senator, and I want to thank you for listening and giving me the opportunity to be heard.
Thank you.